Welcome, everybody, to the Pete Bean Pete podcast. And well, you probably guessed it. That's right. I am Pete. In this podcast, we'll be talking about what it's like to be a Pete and what it's like for me to deal with things like aggression, depression, anxiety, and what it takes for me to just basically survive a day. And it's not always easy, but I managed to do it. So sit back, relax, and listen to one human talking to a bunch of other humans about, well, what it's like to be human.
So I'd like to welcome everybody to this episode of the Pete Bean Pete podcast. Now, on this episode, I got a couple different things I want to talk about. None of them are going to be super long, and I'm not sure how long this episode's really going to be, but I was reading in my book that I've talked about on the podcast before, the anxiety book, which I got my physical copy back thanks to my friend. And thank you, friend, because I know you also listen to the podcast. But I got my physical copy of the book back, which is, it's a little bit easier for me to read a physical copy of a book because I can flip through it. You know, it's in your hands, it's in your fingers, you can feel it, you know, the pages, you know, you get that. You know what I mean? You get that sound when you touch the pages and stuff. So since I have the book back, I'm going to use it a little bit more, maybe to get some different topics for things on the podcast. And actually, while I was flipping through the pages, especially on anxiety, I came to something that I guess I would never really thought. I mean, I've thought about, I just never really thought about talking about because I haven't really talked about it a lot on the podcast, and that is parenting while having mental health issues. And I know that a lot of people do this. Yeah, it's not like there's anything special about me. We all parent while having mental health issues. And for some of us, it's easier than it is others. And maybe some of us are able to parent without projecting on our child, our mental health issues, because I mean, trust me, the last thing in the world I would want is for my daughter to develop issues because of my issues, which I'm sure everybody is going to say, yeah, they have no choice. They're going to. And part of me agrees with that. You know, I see some things in my daughter that's probably a result of having a parent with mental health issues, but I think it's more from my side. And I just want to kind of go over a couple things and a couple things that I know for sure has changed the way I parent because I have mental health issues. And the biggest one is being overprotective. I am super overprotective when it comes to my daughter. I mean, she can do the most basic inane things and my anxiety just goes through the roof. Whether that's when she was a child on the playground, I was super protective. You know what I mean? She'd be on like the jungle gym climbing and I'd be the parent underneath just, you know, with one hand on the butt or the back, making sure she wasn't going to fall, you know, and land on the sand or the mulch or whatever all the other kids did. She wasn't going to do that because I was going to be a good parent and make sure my child never fell and always knew that I was going to be there to rescue her if she did. And that was the wrong thing to do. Yeah, I am a very overprotective parent, even to this day. You know, someone can just simply mention my daughter and maybe even in the littlest, slightest sense of criticism about my child and I'm through the roof. Instantly, I'm going into protection mode. I'm going into, you know, my daughter is the best thing in the world and fuck you. Which is wrong. You know what I mean? Nobody's child is perfect, though we would all like to think that they are, right? And I mean, that's part of being a parent. You know, we all think that our kids, our children are perfect, you know? And if we didn't, it'd be wrong. We wouldn't be good parents, I think. You know, I mean, I want the best for my child and I'm very overprotective and I know that. And I know that maybe if I hadn't been battling with my issues that I wouldn't have been so overprotective. But she also is very well aware that I do have mental health issues. I mean, she's man, she's calmed me down so many times, especially when she was younger and I would have her for the weekends. She would come over to the house, and if I was having a bad night or having panic attacks or something, I can't tell you how many times my 10 or 11-year-old daughter stroked my head and told me everything was going to be okay. And wow, I'm going to start crying talking about that. But it's true. You know, and that's another thing. A lot of times, children of parents with mental health issues end up taking the role of the caregiver, which is very unfair. You know, no child should have to take the role of being a caregiver because their parent has mental health issues. And, you know, it's when I think about it now, you know, my daughter, basically me putting my head in her lap and her just stroking my head because I was having a panic attack or anxiety, or I was depressed and I just didn't know how I was going to survive. And, you know, she was my rock. She was the one thing that got me through everything. And, yeah, I mean, that's very unfair for me as a parent to put her in that position. You know what I mean? And also, you know, we've been riding in cars when, I've had panic attacks, or anyone that's driven in a car with me knows this for a fact, that I do not like driving in big cities or driving someplace where I don't know where I'm going. It just shoots my anxiety through the roof and I get very aggressive. I get very nervous. I get very aggressive behind the wheel. It's just bad. It's bad. No one wants to be around me. No one wants to be around me when I have to drive someplace where I haven't driven before, where I'm not sure about where I'm going, or if I'm driving in the city. Driving in a big city for me is pure terror. I seriously won't do it anymore. I've said that in the past, but I mean it now. I know how bad it is for me to drive in the city. And my daughter has been that person. My daughter's been the person in the passenger seat telling me to basically calm the fuck down and it'll be okay. My daughter's been the one to get out her cell phone and open up Google Maps and get us out of situations because I just couldn't. You know, I was somewhere where I was just like, fuck, we're lost. I don't know what to do. This is all shit. I hate this shit. And, you know, I'm gripping the steering wheel with that grip of death, just trying to get through, trying, you know, and she's been the voice of reason and the voice of calm that, you know, got us out of those situations. So it's not easy for the child. You know what I mean? It's really not. I know that for a fact, and I feel bad that I have put my daughter through those things. You know, I would like to say that it made her a stronger person, but I don't know. I hope that she doesn't develop the same issues that I have. And that, you know, yeah, I just hope she turns out better than I did, and that she doesn't end up having issues later in life because of having a parent with mental health issues and what she saw me go through as she was growing up. And I tried to hide as much as I could from her. I didn't dump a whole lot on her, but there were some times when I couldn't hide things. You know, and yeah. But there was also some times when I was having a panic attack and she was next to me that I wouldn't let her know I was having a panic attack, and I just hold her hand or, you know, just touch her hair and everything was okay. We'd be sitting there watching a movie or a cartoon or whatever, and just having her next to me was a huge calming factor, you know. So she was also very good for me for that stuff. But yeah, so parenting while having mental health issues, please tell me about it. How do you do it? And, you know, for those of you that are still maybe in your late teens, early 20s, if you had parents that had mental health issues and you want to talk about that, please, by all means, hit me up with an email, send me a message, let me know. And I would love to have you on the show because I would love to hear. I would love to have my daughter come on the show, but she wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't want her to do that. You know, I have no problem talking about it. I wouldn't want to put those that are directly around me on the podcast. against their own will or ask them. You know what I mean? Because it takes a special kind of person to sit here in front of this here microphone and, you know, bare my soul to you guys and talk about things like that. So there you go. If you are a person that grew up with parents with mental health issues, I would love to talk to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast. So I'm going to take a break, blow my nose, and then we're going to start the second half of this podcast. So I was looking around Instagram and I saw this cool little thing about mental health, and it was talking about different things having to do with anxiety. And there were some things on here I kind of thought, well, I think I've kind of touched on them before, but it's kind of interesting to go over again. And this is signs when you know your anxiety is really taking over and has basically just, it's overwhelmed you. Yeah, your anxiety has become your life. You have become your anxiety. And one of the first real signs of that is putting something off until it overwhelms you. Now, I've discussed that in the past, and I know for a fact that this is one of the things that I deal with. I'm trying my best to get better at that, but I literally will put something away and put something away and put something away because I just don't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? I will put something off until it is literally so overwhelming that I have no choice. And I hate that. I literally hate that, you know, let's say there's an email I have to write. And I know if today is Monday and I know it's due on Wednesday, I literally will wait till Tuesday night. And the whole time it's sitting in the back of my head and it's creeping up on me and it's creeping up on me. And it's like, you know, you have to do it by Wednesday. Well, why the fuck didn't I just do it on Monday when I could have? And why did I wait and wait and wait and find excuses, but excuses that aren't real excuses, you know, like freaking looking through Instagram or getting on YouTube and falling down a YouTube hole or something like that, you know, and instead of just doing something to get this one thing, get it off my back. So that's something I know that I deal with, and that's putting something off until it overwhelms you. Here's another thing that I've done this so many times, is double checking things or more. Meaning I can leave the house and be like, I think I left the toaster on or the oven on or the stove on. And I'll go back and I'll look at it and I'll be like, nope, I shut it off. Cool. And then I will walk out and then I'll get to my car and I'll be like, did I really check it though? I mean, maybe it was on and I just didn't look good enough. And I have gone back in a second time to do it. And honestly, I will not lie, I have taken pictures with my cell phone to assure myself that I actually shut off something that I'd gone and checked on twice. So I know that is something that I also have coming and going. Now here's another thing. Leaving messages unread as avoidance. Now I'm really good with that, especially when it comes to letters and stuff. I will just throw something in a pile and just leave it there and be like, oh, I didn't get the letter because I didn't read it. I didn't see it. So it's not there. It's not real. But we know that it's very real, right? And it's sitting there and it's about to bite me in the ass because the fact that I didn't open it or I didn't read it or I didn't do something that I should have done or something has now become overdue because I didn't do it. So yeah, I know that's another one of those things I battle with. Do you battle with those things? Do you have those? I'm just curious, how many of you guys have the same issues when it comes to that? I mean, do you put things away and avoid them? Kind of like, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's, you know, oh, look, I got this letter, but I didn't open it. So I can just put it over there and I didn't really get it. It's not really there. I mean, it's not there until I open it, right? I mean, it's not there until I read it. I don't know what it says. It could say anything until I open it. So I'm just going to put it over there and basically avoid it. Now, here we go. Outbursts or fits of annoyance. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is a huge thing for me. Fits of annoyance. And anyone that knows me and has been around me more than a couple seconds has seen Pete go into fits of annoyance. I am one of those people that things will just drive me up the wall and I'll get so frustrated that I'll just explode. And not violently exploding. I'm not walking around punching people in the head, but I will tell people they're pieces of shit. And I will tell people off. And I will get very annoyed with the situation. And I wish I didn't. This is really one of those things that that really bothers me. The fits of annoyance thing is, it doesn't only bother me, but I know it bothers the people that are around me. And that's really something that I wish I could get over and could make go away. Because it's one of those things I really don't like. Now, lastly, on these little things for anxiety, it says answering this. Using the I'm fine. When someone asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm fine. Well, you know what? You're not fine. And you know you're not fine. However, a lot of times answering with the I'm fine, you hope that someone accepts that and just moves on and doesn't go, oh, really? Well, you don't look fine. Now, that's my favorite. When someone goes, oh, really? Well, you don't look fine. Well, you sure you want to go down that rabbit hole there, buddy? Because if I start laying out all the reasons why I'm not fine, we're going to be here till like the sun goes down. So it's one of those things. Sometimes it's easier to just say I'm fine and hope people leave it alone than it is to actually be fine. Because I don't actually know what being fine means. Now, I will say I know that I'm going through these strange periods at the moment where I'll find myself realizing that I'm not thinking. And I'll just be driving and I'll realize I'm not thinking about anything. I've got no thoughts in the back of my head. I got no thoughts in the front of my head. I'm just calmly driving and just driving. And it's a weird thing for me because I don't know that I've ever really had those things before, those moments of, I guess, nothingness. And the nothingness is really nice because there's no thoughts in my head. There's no worries in my head. There's no anxiety there. There's no depression there. There's nothing there. It's just, it's kind of, I guess, what, you know, people describe as meditating, but I'm not meditating. I'm just driving or I'm just sitting at my desk or something. But there have been times lately where I realized that I'm just not thinking about anything. And it feels really good. I know that sounds strange, but it feels really, really, really good. So anyway, I'm going to cut this episode here. It's not going to be a super long one. But hey, I hope you enjoyed it. And really, I want some feedback. Give me your feedback. I do have some friends that, you know, call me, send me messages and stuff and tell me, you know, what they think about this topic or this or that. But look, send me an email. You know, I know the numbers. I know there's a lot of you out there listening to this podcast. So please, by all means, drop me an email at PeteBeanPetePodcast@gmail.com. That's PeteBeanPetePodcast@gmail.com. And if there's something you want to hear me talk about or something you go through that I haven't addressed or anything like that, please, by all means, hit me up. Send me an email. Send me a message on Instagram, whatever. Just find a way of getting a hold of me. And yeah. So on that note, I would like to say good night, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good whatever time it is you're listening to this. And remember, it's okay to not be okay. See, I almost messed that up and I'm going to leave it in. It's okay to not be okay. And look, we all got issues and we're all humans. So just try to be nice to each other, huh?